This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
Yeah, there's a lot here, so we're just going to dive right in. One of the latest things that's gone down here in the trial of Karen Reed over the last handful of days, a man named Judson Welcher marched into that courtroom, and he kind of changed the game. Came in with the science, with the facts, with really undisputable facts about vehicle, where it was, his phone, how the vehicle pretty much struck John O'Keefe without a doubt. Now, intention, that's a whole other thing. But I think he walked away out of there. It's still in there right now, actually. But yep. I think he walked out of the prosecution's direct, laying down some very hard things that I don't know are going to ever exit the jury's mind. Joining me to discuss, Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, former chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. Thoughts on Mr. Welcher?
Yeah, wow. Every week we dive in, Tony, and I give you a swinging pendulum here. And it's not swinging wide each week. It's a little bit of defense this week, a little bit of prosecution this week. Well, with his testimony this week, we are way over on prosecution. I'm finally happy to see some hardcore objective data. There's no subjective people. There's no opinions. This is just like hard facts and science that came into the courtroom finally. And the way he's presenting it is so good. So not just him as a researcher, scientist, and an expert in his field, where he's very methodical about everything, very detail-oriented on, and you can tell he's paying attention to every single question. So that's what the other part I want to get into is, even as watching defense trying to go at him today, he listens to every specific word defense says. And before he even answers, he gets clarifications. He has the defense understand the question better so he can answer it better. I mean, he is, if defense was doing their job and wanted to do a better job, they should just shut up because they can't go toe-to-toe with him. It's been a good week for prosecution. There is no doubt. I don't know where they go from here. I really don't.
I don't either, because I don't know how you proceed with your timeline that's now been completely blown up. I guess you just pretend it didn't happen, and you just talk over it and move on and never bring up the things that he brought up again and hope the jury just forgets, because sometimes they do. I want to play a clip. We'll play a clip of him so everyone can kind of get a feel if they haven't seen his testimony. And I highly suggest going back and watching the whole thing or listening to it. We have it on the podcast channels and here on YouTube. Here is, I think this is one of the biggest moments in court of the entire trial thus far.
I can't wait.
Here we go.
Could you share with the jury what this represents?
Sure. So this was a trial that I was involved with in downtown Los Angeles. I've redacted the name at the top, but this was an instance where we had, this is a image from the police report. Well, let me see if I can. So AOI in this diagram stands for area of impact. That's where the pedestrian was when they got hit. AOR is area of rest. And you can see we have information on exactly how far the pedestrian was thrown. Then on the right-hand side, we have photographs showing the impact to the pedestrian. This was determined by experts on both sides of this case to be between a 25 to 35 mile an hour impact. And then what you see is a close up on the bottom slide of where there was DNA transfers, hair and tissue samples on the vehicle from the individual that was hit by the vehicle.
Next slide, please. And what does this represent?
So this is the decedent in the case, the person that was hit. He was killed at the scene. What you see on the left-hand image, on the left-hand image is he had a massive laceration to his right forearm, but it didn't break his arm. There was no broken bones in his arms. On the right-hand side of this image, you see the autopsy report. What you'll notice is he had red marks on his leg, left buttocks, but he had no leg fractures. And again, this individual was hit at between 25 to 35 miles an hour. Thrown. Yes, yes, yes.
Do you want that expanded like I asked?
There you go.
Thank you. Sorry to.
Yeah, no, my pleasure, John. Thank you. So, to at the top, he had a severe brain injury, which again is the most common injury in pedestrian crashes. He did have fractures of the right 11th and 12th rib, and a liver laceration. If you look at the extremities, it says right upper extremity. Again, that's from the shoulder to the end of the hand. Extremity wound with vascular injury. So no fractures. If you look where I was talking about the multiple abrasions, so when they're looking at the lower extremities, they're noting a number of red marks, but there was notably no fractures to the lower extremities.
Thank you. You can take that down, please.
Okay.
Dr. Welch, regarding your analysis of the data and the evidence in this case, do you have an opinion to a reasonable degree of engineering certainty whether the absence of lower body breaks to Mr. O'Keefe is consistent with the defendant's Lexus impacting in a sideswipe or a clipping Mr. O'Keefe?
Yes, you could definitely have this type of impact and not have anything beyond, say, red marks to the lower extremity.
I thought that was interesting, and there's another one I'll play here in a second, but I thought it was interesting because it was, I mean, look, the data this guy brings is super strong, but it was another case that he was able to bring in and show the jury, so it wasn't just, look, this is what typically happens, and this is not shocking, or this or that. It's like, no, here's another example, if you don't believe me. And I think that will really help paint it to the jury of, okay, this isn't just this story, even though they should know that, but sometimes you really got to, you know, hold their hand. What's your thoughts on that?
It's not subjective conjecture. It is like, here's hard proof and prior examples of exactly the same type of thing that happens to the body when it's struck with a vehicle. I thought that was extremely compelling. And you're seeing him. He's very compelling. He's not argumentative. He's polite. He's accommodating. He tries to answer questions. He tries to understand questions, whether it's a prosecution, jury, judge. I'm not jury, but prosecution, defense, judge. I mean, he presents well in court. He really, really does. There's no reason. There's no doubt why he does what he does, and he's professional at it. I haven't seen that good in a while.
No, he's been one of the best witnesses, I think, in any case. I think of the year, at the very least.
You know, and thank goodness, this is what this case needed.
Yeah.
For everyone, you know, because, regardless of the outcome, guilty, innocence, regardless of whether it's going to be murder, manslaughter, whatnot, what we have here is we have someone with some hard science, some engineering background, and reps in this, because what he's showing in these prior cases he's showing, he has reps. He's got life reps in doing this kind of analysis, doing the kind of science behind it, the mathematical equations that go into it. So it's all the drunken, subjective opinions of everyone involved that night flushed out. It doesn't even matter at this point to me. This is the hard science. He was hit.
Yeah.
And he died from, and the other testimony as well, died from blunt impacts, you know, to the back of the head from a fall. There you go. And the lacerations and bruises on the body match exactly where they were on the vehicle. I mean, it was a very compelling, extremely compelling.
It was. I mean, you just said, the rest of it doesn't matter to me anymore. That's exactly how I felt when we saw this, a lot of it yesterday, and then even more today. That even
it was
just
put the, today is good.
Yeah, this it was like the icing on the cake today, because this is what happened, and we were all wondering, will we ever know what truly happened to John O'Keefe?
Yes, we do now.
We know exactly what happened to John O'Keefe. Do we know why it happened to John O'Keefe? Do we know what the motivation was for it? Or was there any motivation? Or was this just a horrible accident? That's up in the air.
Right. And that's based on interpretation. People, yeah. That's what the attorneys are going to do, and that's what the jury is going to decide. But I think outside of having a video of it actually happening, this is the next best thing. Matter of fact, it might be even better because a video angle ain't going to capture all that potential. I mean, this was really, thank goodness, you know, thank goodness we actually know, again, you know, is there a degree of uncertainty that he could be wrong? Sure, in anything you can be, but it's really low probability at this point.
Extremely low probability at this
point. I always leave everything open, though, because, you know, data is data.
I guess there's a possibility that Chloe the dog ran out, ripped John O'Keefe out of the car, then came around. Karen was scared and ran out. The dog reversed the car and then hit John O'Keefe, and Karen got back in, but doesn't remember any of it because she was blackout drunk.
Yeah. And the thing I also liked that he said, too, was when he brought up the fact of a lack of a taillight fragments on John. So, in other words, he's pointing out what wasn't there also.
Yeah.
And when you offer a level of transparency and not trying to dismiss things or word bridging over things to avoid, you know, something that might be incongruent. No, he's fully engaging every aspect of the data he was giving. And that's what you want from an expert. Mm-hmm. Fully engaging every aspect of all the data he's given, regardless of prosecution or defense, that makes a great witness. And that's what he did. And that's why he was answering and dealing with both the attorney on the prosecution side as well as on the defense side, as I was watching today, exactly the same.
Yeah.
He did not have a demeanor shift. He didn't get defensive. He just dealt with the data, the question, and answered it. It was really well done.
He's done this before a time or two.
Yes, a few times.
Yeah,
yes.
And that's the, I mean, and because he gets it. He also gets, one's going to go at me this way, one's going to, but he does this for a living. So he understands how these cases work, and he's just there to deliver the data. That's all he is there for. He's even said, I don't have a dog in the fight.
That's exactly what you want.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.